This is the Generation Example Podcast.
Today we're going to start a new series. So we just finished up our foundation series. And now we're going to do a series called Building Families. And for those of you guys who don't know, Abundant Life has a threefold mission. What is our mission here for Abundant Life? Well, and it's what is we wrote on the walls on the back there. That's what those paintings are on the back. It's transforming communities, building disciples, and building families. And that's really what we want to be known for here at Abundant Life. And last year, at the end of the year, we talked about making disciples. And now we are going to begin to do a series on what does it mean to build families. What are families all about? And this is a series that the big church started last week. We're kind of a week behind because we had a winter camp, which was freaking amazing. All of you guys were there, you know, and so we had a great time. And so we're going to continue today talking about family. So I want you guys to all repeat after me in your Super Bowl voices. I want you to say, family.
Family.
Now, Steve, we got a few people who are ready to watch the game, right? The rest of you need to wake up, okay? Right, here we go. Ready? Family.
Family.
There it is, right? Whose idea anyway? Say it. Come on, you guys missed that part. Oh, sorry. You guys were just like just the family part better? All right. Redo. One more time. You guys got to repeat everything I say. You ready? Family.
Family.
Whose idea?
Whose idea?
There we go. There we go. Have you guys ever wondered? Thank you, Snuckles. You guys are awesome. I'm an idiot. Now I am an idiot. You guys ever wonder, you guys ever thought about, I think about weird things sometimes. I sit around, why family? Why did God create family? You guys ever know there's this animal out there, it's called the sea turtle. And the sea turtle, when it has kids, you guys know what it does? It goes up onto the beach, it goes out of the water, and it goes way up onto the beach, and it digs a hole, and it basically, you know, puts the eggs in a hole. And then it just bounces. And the little babies, basically, they got to hatch all by themselves. They're on their own, right? They hatch all themselves. They got to, like, walk across the beach. And meanwhile, on the beach, there's, like, you know, seagulls up there. And it's like a buffet for them, right? And they just swoop down and eat all the babies. And a lot of the babies get tumbled. They get tootsie rolled in the surf. And they don't make it. And a lot of babies, you know, even when they're in the eggs, like, predators will come and eat the eggs, you know. And so... so here's these little kids, right? Mom and dad basically just put them on the beach and bail and say, hey, if you make it, you make it. I'll see you out there. And if you don't, you don't. And I think, wow, man, that's kind of hardcore, right? What if our families were like that, right? What if mom and dad just, what if you came out of an egg and they just dropped you in a garbage can and said, hey, we live at, 290 Harrison Street. I'll see you there when you're born, you know, see if you can make it, right? Right? Right, but, you know, but that's not how families are. And I think, you know, things could have been a lot different. And so today we're going to be just asking the question, you know, why family? You know, who created this thing? Why was it created? And what can we learn from it? So the first thing I want to share with you guys is this. Family is powerful. Family is powerful. There is something very strong and powerful about family. So we're going to watch a quick video that demonstrates this. And this is a video about a father and a son team. And their family, I believe God has used to influence people all over the world. I would say literally millions of people. And so we're going to watch this quick video. So let's watch. That really is an awesome story of the power of family. You see this father and this mother who didn't give up on their son. And these people, this is their team Hoyt, and then you've probably been familiar with them. They had a big old billboard not too long ago on the 101 right up here by IKEA, team Hoyt. They have, their family have inspired millions of people to follow their dreams and to realize that they can accomplish so much more. But and that shows you the power of family, but here's the flip side. Family not only can be powerfully used for good, it can also be powerfully destructive. I don't know if you guys realize this, but poverty, crime, poor education, all of these things are linked to broken families. Here's the reality. When family breaks down, everything else breaks down as well. One stat I read, there's a whole bunch of stats out there, but one stat I read says childhood poverty increases by 80% if you come from an unmarried family. 80%. You're 80% more likely to be poor if your parents aren't married. That's a crazy stat. And so we see the power of family, whether it's for the good or whether it's for destruction. And here's the thing, and you ask, why is family so powerful? Well, here's the answer. Family is not something that we just made up. Family is God's idea. Here's your next point if you guys got your outline. Family is God's idea, right? God instituted family as the fundamental building block of society. And when our families don't work and when our families break down, it literally tears all of society down with it. You know, you ask, why are the number of young men in jails, you know, a huge percentage of them don't have fathers, right? That's not a coincidence, right? When the family breaks down, crime goes up and more people go to jail. It brings our whole society. And so what we're going to look at, if you guys got your Bibles, we're going to look at the Genesis chapter 2. So you got your Bibles. Genesis, for those of you guys who don't know, it's the very first book in the Bible. It was written by Moses. And Genesis literally means the beginning. Because the book of Genesis talks about the beginning of everything. It talks about the beginning of us, of mankind. Talks about the beginning of creation. Talks about the beginning of all things is Genesis. And now I want to say a few quick things about Genesis before we get into it. I realize that I'm going to get up here and talk to you about a God who created mankind, who spoke into existence, and men suddenly appeared, and he spoke, and all of a sudden birds appear. And for many of you, that may sound really weird, right? Because I know in your schools, you guys are not learning about how God created the heavens and the earth, right? You guys have learned, and trust me, I was a product of the same school system. You have learned that we are the result of millions of years, random chance, and mutations, right? That millions and millions of years ago, you know, we're people, but we used to be little blobs, and those little blobs came from millions and millions and millions of years ago. Water rained on rocks for billions of years, and now we all are here. So I get that. But I think a lot of people don't understand the book of Genesis, and I think one thing I want to share with you guys is the book of Genesis was never intended to be a scientific explanation of where mankind came from, right? Because it gets a lot of flack, you know what I mean? And a lot of times people, when they're reading the book, they're trying to see, you know, well, you know, God said that, you know, he created birds before, you know, man and all this stuff. But you're reading the Bible wrong. You see, when Moses wrote the book of Genesis, he wasn't trying to answer the question of how things were created. He was trying to answer the question of who. Who created the heavens and the earth? And the interesting thing, and this is what I love, is even today, science still, I mean, they have their evolutionary theory, and whether you believe in that or not, I'm not really going to talk about that, although I don't buy into it as much as I think a lot of people do. But here's the thing. When it all comes back to the beginning, science still doesn't have an answer for who. Right? Science still doesn't have an answer for how did it all start? Where did we all come from? And that's an answer that the Bible gives clearly in the first sentence of Genesis. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created everything. And so we see in the first chapter, God, Genesis, Moses lays out the creation narrative. It's actually a beautiful ancient Mesopotamian poem that it shows that the six-day narrative, and then God rests on the seventh day. And then in chapter 2, we get a little bit more detail about how God created man. And so that's what we're going to read today. So if you guys open up to Genesis chapter 2, we are going to start in verse 18. And I am going to read. Verse 18 says this. We're going to read just four verses. Four or five. Genesis 18 says, "And the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.' Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the skies. He brought them to man to see what he would name each of them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds, the sky, in the sky and all the wild animals. But Adam had no suitable helper that was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of man's ribs and then closed up the place with the flesh. And from the rib he had taken out of the man, he brought her. Oh, I'm sorry. Then the Lord God made woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. And so this is an awesome story how God created mankind, and he looked at man, and man was alone. And he says, man, this isn't good. I need to create a helper for man. I need to create somebody to come alongside and who's going to assist him in all that he's going to do. So what did he do? He created woman. And not only did he create woman, but he also created the potential for kids. So in essence, right, this is cool. It wasn't good that man was alone. So what did God do? God added family to the man. And why did God add family? So that man would be able to do all that God would call him to do. So man had the help and the support that he needed to carry out the mission of God. And that is a beautiful story of why we need family. And so my last point I want to share with you guys is that family is necessary. Family is necessary. If you think about it, you know, I thought about this a lot. When things really go down in your life, I'm talking when the stuff hits the fan and things are going down and you're ready to you get into trouble or whatever happens, who's really there to help you out and to pull you out of trouble? It's your family. Right? When you're really down and you're really sad and you have a loss of a loved one or something really happens, who's there to put your arm around you and to cheer you up? It's your family. You know, when you were little and you stubbed your toe and you were crying, right? Who was there to comfort you and to say, oh, it's going to be better, right? It's your mom or your dad, right? And when you're teenagers and you stay up all night and you're texting and you drive up your cell phone bill to hundreds and hundreds of dollars, right? Who comes in and pays your bill, right? Your parents. Because ultimately, that's what family is all about. Family is there to support us when we need. Now, I know that there are friends that can kind of come in and help as well. And we'll talk about this a little later. And friends can be an extension of that family. But if we are going to be who God has called us to be, we need family. And I think about that that Team Hoyt story that we saw in the beginning of this message. And you know, you think, you know, here's this boy and he's born and he's a paraplegic and he's paralyzed and he can't move. And what's everybody saying? Oh, he's just going to be a vegetable. Just institutionalize him, put him somewhere. But who was it that believed in him and believed that he can do more? It was his parents. It was his family. And without his parents, he would not be who he is today if they didn't believe in him and encourage him. Right? And I think there's a number of different individuals in the room. I think some of you are here and you guys have great parents. You have a great relationship with your parents. When I talk about the power of family, you totally get it, right? Because you're like, man, my family is everything to me. The thing I want to encourage you guys is to share the wealth. Share the wealth. There's a story, actually a quote from Mother Teresa, and this is a great quote. She says, you guys know who Mother Teresa is, the real, you know, the lady who helps everybody? Says, you guys know who she is, right? The lady, the old lady who helps everybody? The problem with the world is that we draw our family circles too small. The problem with the world is that we draw our family circles too small. I want to encourage you today, if you got a great family and your family is a blessing to you, bring some other people into it. Look for opportunities when you can invite. Maybe you have friends who have zero family. Maybe you got friends with broken homes. Man, your family can bring life to not just you, but to other people around you. I know me and my wife, one of the things we try to do is during the holidays, if we know people who don't have family, we invite them over. Come be a part of our family. Let's let our family be a blessing to you. Maybe you got like a family tradition. Maybe every Sunday you go out to eat after church with your family, and it's awesome. You guys have a great time. I want to encourage you. Invite somebody else along with you. Allow your family to be a blessing to others. There's others of you in here. You got good families, but you're rebelling, and for really no good reason, right? And the first thing I want to tell you is, look, Mom and dad are not perfect. They're not. And guess what? You're not perfect either. Right? And in these family situations, things happen. I get that. But some of you, you are rebelling from mom and dad, and honestly, all you're doing right now is you're hurting yourself. And what you need to understand is God has put your family in your life for a purpose. They are there to instruct you. They are there to teach you. They are there to encourage you. And the more you rebel and the more you push them away, the worse off you're going to be. Because it's not an accident you're in that family. God has created that family. God has created mom and dad, right, to be able to instruct you and to show you what life is all about. And some of you just don't want to listen. And you really have no good reason. And so my encouragement for you today is to stop it. And to realize you're only hurting yourself. I got a good quote for you. This is Mark Twain. Mark Twain says this. He says, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. Sound like some of you, right? But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years. Right? When we're young, we don't think our parents know anything. We just don't. But it's amazing as you grow and as you begin to really listen to mom and dad and learn what they know, you'll be surprised about how much they actually do know. I thought my parents were so dumb when I was in high school. Now I don't know what I would do without especially my dad or my stepdad. I mean, he is really kind of a wealth of knowledge that I don't know what I would do without. And when I was in high school, I couldn't stand the guy. But it wasn't him, it was me. And there's another group of people in here. Some of you, your family, you know, there is some legitimate struggle going on in your family. Maybe some of you are dealing with some mental illness with your family. Maybe some of you come from a home where maybe mom or dad has passed away and there's a lot of struggle going on. Maybe some of you in here are in a family with some substance abuse going on. Maybe dad's an alcoholic. Maybe mom is addicted to something. Maybe there's something going on. And there's some of you dealing with some pretty heavy stuff. And we're going to talk a lot more about this next week, but what I want to encourage you is don't give up on your family. It's not an accident you're in that family. And God is not done with your family. I think oftentimes when we're young, especially when we're in teenagers, we think, man, my life is so horrible. But what you don't understand is your life has just begun. Right? If your life was a book, you're only like right now, you're only like in chapter 2. You know, there's a lot of life, there's a lot of road, there's a lot of journey ahead. And God can and will still do awesome things with your family. But I want to encourage you not to give up. You know, as we break for small groups, what I really want to encourage you guys to do is just begin to share and think about your families. And during this whole series, one of the things I really want us to do is take a new look at what family actually is and start evaluating yourself. How am I being who God wants me to be in this family? Because I guarantee you that your family is there to bring you life and your family is there for your support. So don't push that away. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word, Lord, and what we can learn about being a part of our family, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, for those in here who are really struggling with their relationship with mom and dad. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would help, Lord, both ends. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would help mom and dad to really understand how what they're doing is affecting the student, Lord. And I pray for the students in here, Lord, that they could get a new understanding of who mom and dad are and that they're not the enemy, Lord, but they're there to bring life and to encourage bring encouragement, Lord. I pray for those who are really struggling with some dysfunction in their family, Lord, that you would just bring hope, Lord. That you would bring that hope and that newness, Lord, that something good is going to happen, Lord. And I pray for those who are just, man, their family is just awesome, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would just share with them ways, Lord, that they can spread the love and the encouragement of their family to others who need it. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
This was another Generation Example podcast. For additional podcasts, community, and resources to help you in your walk with Jesus Christ, visit generationexample.org.